lesson based on the theme that our gospel meeting was about, Jesus Christ's faith, but who, the what, the how, the when, and the where in our salvation. In the book of Ephesians and the book of Colossians, Paul made a statement in both books. Both statements almost exactly the same, praying that the Christians be filled with the knowledge of God's will. Filled with the knowledge of God's will. The lesson is about that we may understand the will of God better. Jesus Christ says He is the who of our salvation. We have looked at that. Jesus Christ says there is a what to our salvation. We have looked at that. Jesus Christ says there is a how to our salvation. We will be looking on that today. Of course, there is a where and a when to our salvation. Hopefully, we can look at those today. So, we look at the third point, that there is, in fact, a how to our salvation. A how. To our salvation. Let us begin with the passage of Luke chapter 8 and verse 18. Luke 8:18.
Take heed therefore how ye hear.
Read that again.
Take heed therefore how ye hear.
Read that again.
Take heed therefore how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have.
I would almost be tempted to ask the brother to read the old verse again, but I won't. Notice it appears as if there is a disconnect. In fact, I'm going to yield to this temptation. Read the old verse again.
Take heed therefore how ye hear.
Watch here now. Take heed therefore how ye hear. Notice the rest of what Christ is saying in the verse would appear on the surface not to relate to what he has just said about take heed how ye hear. Read.
For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he seemeth to have.
Okay? Take heed. We will be looking, is there in fact a disconnect? Did Jesus Christ just made that first statement, take heed all you hear, and then went on to another subject? We will look at that in a few minutes. But may I, as I've said, There is a how,
as we have just seen,
to our salvation. The divine how of doing things, spiritual things, has always been of great importance to the Almighty God and man's salvation. I'm hoping that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, that there are 6 instances that dramatize this, taken from both Old and New Testament. I'm not sure if we'll get to that today. But the fact is, there is a divine how of doing spiritual religious things. Let us take first the verse that has just been read, because we want to make sure we understand what is being said here. Take heed how you listen, how you hear. The emphasis here is how you listen to the gospel, how you listen to spiritual truth. The emphasis in this warning is on being good hearers, receptive hearers, interested hearers, keen hearers, intelligent hearers, respectful hearers. Are we there? In fact, that emphasis is found in verse 8, verse 13, and verse 15. Let us hear it. Or rather, 8:15 and 18. 8:15 and 18. Let us hear all 3 verses.
And others fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit and hundredfold.
What verse are you reading, brother?
Verse 8.
Verse 8. Okay. The passage of Luke chapter 8. And verse 8. Let us hear it.
And others fell on good ground and sprang up. And bear fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear."
Everybody get that? That's verse 8. Let us hear 15.
But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word.
Having what?
Heard the word. Keep it. And bring forth fruit with peace.
Here again, it's about hearing the word. But really, it's how we hear the word. Verse 18.
Take ye therefore how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. And whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that esteemeth to have.
Thank you. So all 3 verses is not just talking about, but emphasizing the kind of hearers that we are. I pointed out just now that we have to listen the gospel truth with respect, with receptiveness, with keenness, with intelligence, with respectfulness. We are to. And this is what the book of Hebrews chapter 2 is about. Chapter 2 verse 1 to around verse 3. Turn to it. Started. Stop like this. Turn to it, brother, because we want it right. We are to give what?
Therefore,
We ought to give the more earnest heed to the
what
things.
What kind of heed?
The more earnest heed.
To
the things which we have heard.
Everybody get that? Wait. Don't move. The type, the kind of hearers that we are. We are to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard.
Lest at any time we should let them slip.
You notice that even the letting it slip, meaning you forget it, going to be dependent on the kind of hearers that we are. The implication there is that you must not treat the truth of the gospel lightly, so that it goes in one ear and comes out through the other. We are to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we let them slip. Wait. Don't treat the truth in a way that it is easily forgotten. Now, he's going to now compare important things.
The word spoken by angels.
Spoken by
angels.
Angels.
Was steadfast.
Was steadfast.
And every transgression and disobedience.
This is referring to the law, the Old Testament system. It was administered by angels to Moses. For if the word spoken by angel was
steadfast.
You know what that word steadfast means? It was sure. Nothing about it was slippery. What it says, it meant it. Was steadfast so that
every transgression and disobedience.
And disobedient person. Wait. You treat it with disrespect. Huh? You treat it as if you do not believe it. You treat it as if what it says will not come to pass. So that every transgression and disobedient person receive a just recompense of reward. Wait, that meant God punished them. How
shall we escape?
Wait, do you know what that implies, Matthew? It means that we have a greater word.
Yes, you see.
It's about to tell you, how shall we escape?
If we
neglect, notice. So?
Great salvation.
What? So?
Great salvation.
So, our salvation in Christ is greater than that of the law. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Notice how great it is. First it began to be spoken
by the Lord.
By the Lord, that's the Son of God. And
was confirmed unto
was
us
confirmed to you and me
by them that heard it.
That's the apostles. God or Christ bearing them
witness. Both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will.
So, brothers and sisters, so here again, Hebrews chapter 2, which the brothers just read, is on the importance of being intelligent, keen, receptive, respectful hearers. And because the gospel is so awesomely precious, valuable and important to man's salvation and to our peace here, that is our peace with God, here and hereafter. Because of that, are we there? It is the more important that it be rightly heard. That it be rightly heard or listened to. Don't listen to the gospel with just any and any attitude. We are told, I think it's in Thessalonians, that Paul gave thanks to them that when they heard the word of God, help me here, they did not treat it as the word of man, but as the word of God for what it truly was. So, take heed, hold your ear. Yes! That is, make sure you listen to God's word with intelligence, with receptiveness, with appreciation, with keenness, with respect, and with a good heart, a good mind. That is, you must be sympathetic towards the word. That means you must realize that this is precious stuff. And when it comes my way, I must not treat it lightly. Take heed how you hear. Verse 18 again, brother.
Take heed therefore, ye hear. Take heed therefore how ye hear.
Read on.
For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not.
But by the way, what? I can't see any connection between how I hear and what I have and what I don't have. You know, understand how Jesus Christ makes the Bible complicated. Brother O'Neill Wilson and myself had a wonderful study Wednesday gone, and I'm looking forward for this Wednesday, Brother Wilson. You know, the good gentleman was almost in effect. I don't like how, in effect, not in these exact words, I don't like how that is said. So somebody might be saying, Brother Mitchell, you know, Jesus Christ just talked about take heed how you hear and went on to another subject. I am here to tell you Jesus Christ did not go on to another subject. There is no disconnect in the text. There is a definite relationship and oneness between take heed, hold your ear, and the business of whosoever has it shall be taken, and the little that he has. There is a direct connection. May I? What Jesus Christ is teaching here is this. Whosoever, any man or woman, boy or girl, listen to the gospel with reverence, with keenness, with receptiveness, with welcomeness, with interest, and with a good heart, that person, that man, that woman becomes capable of receiving and grasping more truth. The more respect you show to the gospel, the more interest you take in listening to it, because you recognize its worth and its value, it's the more you learn and the more you are going to learn.
Watch here.
The man or woman who do not know how to listen. Are we there? The man or woman who does not know how to listen to the truth of the gospel comes under the condemnation of 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 7. The man or woman who does not listen to the gospel of Jesus Christ and the truth of the gospel with reverence, with respect, with receptiveness, with keenness, the person who just... Wait, that includes Christian, you know. We can say we come to church every week and we hear the gospel preached. What's the big thing? If you listen to it with that attitude, you come under the condemnation of the passage and the consideration here of 2 Timothy chapter 3. Did I say verse 17?
Verse 7.
Read.
Ever learning. And never able to come to the knowledge of the truth.
Y'all get that? Wait, you didn't get that. That there are people who are always learning. They are always exposed to the world. They read the Bible. But the way they treat the Word of God, the way their attitude, the way they look on the world, not with the value that it carries, not with the worth that it carries, they will spend 100 years learning and never understand the truth. The Bible refers to the gospel as treasure. Am I not right? That we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Are we there? The key listener. The interested listener. The receptive listener will always learn. And the more we learn, is the more we are able to learn. I have just stated an educational principle here. That's right. That's a fact. It is a fact common not only to the gospel, but anything you study. The more of it you learn, is the more you are able to learn. That is a fact in every field of knowledge. And that's what Jesus Christ is showing here. Jesus Christ is showing here, telling us in effect, don't dull your sense of learning. Because that starts with the ear. Take heed how you hear. What did I say a while ago? That the keen, interested, receptive listener will always learn. And the more we learn, the more we are able to learn. But careless listeners, careless listeners dull the channel of learning. Careless listeners step by step lose the ability to learn. They dull that capacity. Do you know it is a true principle that the speaker will always find? Do you know it's a true principle that he who has will get more? You wonder how the man rich and him gets so richer. He has money and he uses that money to invest wisely and make more. And you and I who do not have any, we don't have anything to invest to get more on. And that's the principle of Jesus Christ. You see, when he talks about, read the rest of the verse. 18, that is. Not taking all you hear, the other part of it.
For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. And whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away.
You know what that is referring to? Why that principle is true, even in our financial dealing. You notice that the I want to use the word adventurous for a better word. The adventurous person will go and loan money to invest. That's what most people do. That's right. Loan money, build apartment. Bank will lend them millions of dollars. He knows he can pay back that principal with the interest and make big money on it. Of course, they're calling people like Dave to make sure the money. That the, yes, that's right. The people like Dave, they're calling, so you be careful to come and determine whether so much before they advance you more money. Dave has to tell them whether what you had been advanced before was spent on the project. That's right. You didn't know that's what he did. Well, when the bank turned down your application, you know who to talk to. Anyway, these people have faith. They know, of course, the principle that if you don't have any money, it's more difficult to have. Jesus Christ is upholding that. When he said, whosoever hath shall be taken. The little that you have, if you do not put out effort to listen to the gospel with respect, with reverence, with intelligence, with keenness, even the little knowledge you have of God's word, it vanishes. But if you study God's word, listen to God's word with respect, with interest, with welcomeness, with receptiveness, you're building on your knowledge and will be gaining more knowledge. That's what Jesus Christ is teaching here. So he said that knowledge begins with the type of era that you are. Did you know that the entire gospel is so designed? It has a built-in characteristic. Say that again, Mr. Mitchell. Brother Mitchell, say that again. The gospel is so designed by God. One of its built-in characteristics is that stubborn, willful, non-interested, self-deluded, hardened hearers of the gospel cannot grasp the worth, the value, and the importance of the gospel. They cannot. Are we all there? And thereby never submit to its condition, and as a result, the same gospel condemned them. The very same gospel. The gospel is by nature like that. The gospel can be saving me at the very same time it is condemning you. It has that quality. Did you know? I know you don't know this, but I'll share it with you and I should charge you. That the same sun that softened the butter, hardened the putty. Oh, so you know it. Okay. Well, all of us know it then. Thank God. The same sun, you put the butter out there and in a little while that butter becomes liquefied. Not solid, liquefied. It becomes, you can throw it out. And you put some mixed putty or clay beside the butter. That was soft. The clay was soft. The putty was soft. And in a little while, it becomes hard. The very same sun. It is working on the two stuff at the same time. The putty and the butter. The same time. Well, the same way right here. The gospel can be. That is the characteristic of the gospel. It can be condemning one and saving one at the very same time. It depends on what you bring to the gospel. That's right. The attitude, the disposition that you bring to the gospel. Are we there? It is what you are that determines what you get from the gospel and what it does to you. What you are. Are we there? Look at Matthew 13, 10 through 16. Matthew 13, 10 through 16.
And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in
parables? Watch here now. The principle that the gospel by nature, it has this built-in characteristic that why speaking one person at the same time, it can be condemning one person. Depending on what we bring to the gospel when we listen to it. It is what we are that determines what we get out of the gospel. That's right. What he said, brother?
And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables?
Why do you speak in parables? Read.
And he answered and said unto them,
Jesus Christ said to them,
Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven.
That means it is given to you to understand the gospel, to appreciate its worth, its value, its importance, its significance. Because this is given to you. And what Jesus Christ is in effect saying there, that these people, his apostles, his followers, they came to him and his teaching with the right attitude. So on that basis, it's given to you to understand. Read on.
But to them, it is not given.
You see, wait, he's dealing now with a people. Some people who came to the gospel with a wrong attitude and disposition. You know, somebody keep reminding me here that a lot of times in teaching people, and we keep not showing people that God sends some people strong delusion. That is God going to help them not to under. Do you know that this passage is emphasizing that? Read on, brother. But to them, it's not given to do what?
But to them, it is not given. For whosoever has, to him shall be given.
Wait, brothers and sisters. Now, it's not the same passage we are, you know. The first passage which brought this out was Luke, chapter 8. This is Matthew. And it is the same principle. This is a built-in principle. Read.
For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance.
Wait, hold it. That's why you see some Christians, they are gaining more knowledge day by day in the respect of God's will, God's character, the church, and whatever. There are other Christians, they are in the church 2, 5, 10, 15, 20, 100 years. And they don't learn much. You see, that's not good. Christ is explaining why. Here, part of the reason many of us are ever learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Remember, it is God's will that we come to the knowledge of the truth. We cannot be saved guessing our way to heaven and telling ourselves, all I know I'm right and all I know I'm serving God. Serving God is not guesswork. You have to know his will. Read on, brother.
But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath.
The same principle that even the little knowledge you have sometime of God's word is easily forgotten. Because you do not appreciate the value of God's truth, so you do not listen with the interest you are to listen with. You do not put out the effort you need to put out. Read on, brother.
Therefore speak I to them in parables. Because they seeing, see not.
Mm-hmm.
And hearing, they hear not.
Mm-hmm.
Neither do they understand.
Read
on. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand.
They hear, but they do not understand. Isaiah, from 600-700 years before Christ, had prophesied about people with a hardened, ungodly disposition towards God's word. Read.
And seeing they shall see, mm-hmm. and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive.
Mm-hmm.
For this people's heart is wax gross.
The word wax means grow.
And their ears are dull of hearing.
Uh-huh.
And their eyes, they have closed.
Notice here. Their eyes was closed for them.
And their eyes, they have closed.
They have closed. You see, it's dealing with disposition, attitude. Don't come to God's word with a careless attitude. Don't treat the word of God like man's word. Invite even members of the church. Make sure that any truth from God's word that is taught, you respect it. Because the moment you manifest disrespect towards truth, you have God working against you. He said something else there.
For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, mm-hmm. and their eyes they have closed,
mm-hmm.
lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand, and with their hearts, and should understand with their hearts, and should be converted, and I should heal them.
You see, Jesus Christ took the process, and they should do this, and they should do this, and they should do this, and then when they are like that, I'll have to heal them. The healing here is spiritual healing. I'll have to deal with their sin. But Jesus Christ says, their attitude makes it difficult. I don't want to deal with their sin with the type of attitude they come to my words with. So they are going to be condemned. What did I say? That there's a built-in thing where the gospel can be stayed in you. At the very same time, it is condemning me. Look at the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. Look at it. Read it.
2 Corinthians.
2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15 and 16.
For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ.
We call it... Wait, somebody looking for it. Yes, look for the passage. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. The Apostle Paul says that we, those of us who preach the gospel, this of course in context is referring to the apostles. We are unto God a sweet
savor.
That is a sweet smelling essence. That's what the country people call it. You tongue people call it cologne. Well, call it whatever, you know what? We are unto God a sweet cologne.
Of Christ. In them that are saved.
Notice this. I want you to notice. You know, I'm tempted almost to end the sermon. Now, keep in mind that 90% of what I want to say on the subject of hope, there are some 6 or 7 other passages. I may not get to them today, but God's willing we get to them. Yes. We are unto God a sweet smelling essence or cologne. To who?
Of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
In them that are saved and in them that perish.
Wait. Sweet smelling cologne to two different kinds of people. Those who are being saved and those who are being perished. Read on.
To the one, we are the savor of death unto death.
We are to one, we are the smell of
death unto death.
Death unto death. To the other,
the savor of life unto life.
Of life unto death. It must be two different gospels. No, the same gospel. Don't move, don't move. Paul lived in a Roman world, as we know. Now, 1 theologian pointed out that the picture Paul is drawing here, every Roman knew it. He pointed out that when Titus captured Jerusalem, Titus, the Roman emperor, captured Jerusalem, the scene Paul is painting here was lived up. When in those days, watch me now, don't move from the passage. To one, the word savior here means smell. We are the smell of death unto death. To the other, we are the smell of life unto life. Watch here now. The scene being played out here is that in the ancient Roman world, when the Romans capture a land or a people, and the general who was responsible for that, a date was set for his triumphant entry to Rome. It went like this. Leading that triumphant entry into Rome was the state official. That is the officials of the Roman government. They led the triumphant procession. Following the state official was the trumpeters, the men who blew the trumpet music and dancing as the thousands of soldiers marched. Then following the trumpeter was the spoil, the gold, the silver, the precious things that were captured. Then following the spoil was the white bull. That's right. A white bull, cow, was a part of the procession because that bull going to be offered on the heathen altar, giving thanks to the idolatrous God for the victory. Following the bull were the captive. The men and women that were captured, including the princes, the leaders of that captured nation. Then following the captives were the musicians. That's right. The musicians. But then, following the musician was the priest swinging their censer with the sweet smelling essence, perfume, or cologne as they walk almost at the end of the procession. They would swing their censer with the sweet smelling perfume. Watch here now. When the Romans victorious and smell that perfume, it reminds them and reassures them of the victory which they have had. But that same perfume, when the captive princes and official of the captured land, because they were part of the procession, many of them came with chain on their legs, and when they smell the sweet smell, it tells them, say, all the nice life is over. All the luxury that I as a prince used to enjoy, that smell reminds me that that ends. Punishment, I'm going to be a slave, that's right. Read the text again.
For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ.
We are unto God a sweet perfume of Jesus Christ.
In them that are saved,
both in them who are saved,
and in them that perish.
And them that perish.
To the one we are the savor of death unto
death. For the one that is to the captured people, we are the smell of death unto death. Wait. They died. They were dead in sin as they were. And they are going to die because some of them will be put to death. But to the other.
And to the other, the savior of life unto life.
That is, those who were part of the victorious country, citizen of the victorious country, when they smell that, they realize that the borders of their country was expanding. Because we have captured another country. So they rejoice. The gospel is like that. When a child of God hears the gospel, understand its value, its worth, you are glad to hear the gospel. If you are not glad to hear it, something is wrong, and that's what Christ is saying. Be careful of the kind of listener that you are. Remember we started out, how you listen. That's what we are still on. But to the ungodly, or especially to the men and women who do not have a right attitude towards the gospel truth of Jesus Christ, almost anything you preach makes them mad. You notice, you preach and tell men you must be baptized to be saved, Christians are glad to hear that news, even though they have been baptized. They are glad because they know that it is so and they have obeyed it. Men and women in the audience who want to have their own way, they feel mad. They criticize it. You know, so this church believes in water salvation. Yes, we believe in water salvation. That's right. So that shows two different attitudes. As I said, I touch only about a little part, but we're not going to go further. Don't miss out on just a list of passages which emphasize that there is a hope to our salvation. How we do things, spiritual things, religious things, is of utmost importance to the Almighty God. Pay keen interest to God's house. Here is a passage we don't even touch yet. Run to it, brother. This is just one of some seven other passages that you need to understand. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10.
According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon.
What, brother? Let every man does what?
Take heed how he buildeth thereupon.
Let me just show you something, what some of what is in store. Step down to verse 12 through 14. Quick.
But now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest.
Wait. There are six material of building mentioned here. But the six material represents two kinds of material. The perishable and the non-perishable. Interesting truth that you and I need to understand. He talks about if any man. Was that any man referring to other apostles who will come and preach? Was that any man referring to those who preach and teach? Or was it referring to some other people? Very interesting. My temptation was to just look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 10 through 14 tonight, so that when we pick up on the rest of the lesson next week, it would not hold up my time. But I'm not sure yet. What I beg, Christian, don't miss the rest of this lesson on God's call in our salvation. Today, we have dealt just with one aspect. How you hear. And it is appropriate that we start there. Because you see, how we listen to the gospel of Christ determines where we go from there with Jesus Christ. If you're here today and if you're not a child of God, you have listened to this lesson and the Almighty God brought you here so that you can understand that the very way we hear, listen to God's word may determine where we go from here with the Almighty God. The Almighty God takes keen interest in the kind of listeners or hearers we are. Remember, what you bring to the gospel determines what you get from it. And that is in respect to attitude and disposition, respect or disrespect, receptiveness or non-receptiveness. Appreciation of the value and worth of the gospel, or do you treat the gospel as if it is fiction? Do you know today the step you make to walk away from this lesson or to become obedient to Jesus Christ? It tells a lot about how you feel about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let us encourage you to step forward today and give your life to Jesus Christ because you have listened to the gospel of Christ. Yes, He died for you. But Jesus Christ did not stay dead. He was resurrected to show you that His victory can be your victory. Christ can deal with your sin problem. And He can deal with whatever issue, whatever problem, whatever challenge you have. Knowing that our sin problem is the most dangerous. Yet you can leave here today as a Christian. I mean a true New Testament Christian. Not merely believing. That is good and necessary, but it is not enough. Faith without works is dead. When you hear, you must make a resolution to believing the truth. Huh? You must believe the truth of the gospel. Among the facts
is that Jesus Christ died for your sin, my sin. You must believe that. Jesus Christ was the Son of God. He is the Son of God. You must believe that. You must believe that Jesus Christ is the only one who can deal with your sin problem. You on your own cannot. Wait. Your good works cannot deal with your sin problem. How do I know? If that was adequate to deal with your sin problem, there would be no need for Jesus Christ to go to Calvary's cross. That tells me that man does not have what it takes to deal with his sin problem. That's why Christ had to go to Calvary. You must believe that. And you must accept that you are a sinner. Yes, you are a sinner. You want to tell me how good and nice you are, the many good works, benevolent works. Yes, you are still a sinner. Because your good works cannot remove your sin. Only the blood of Jesus Christ. That's why you are called upon to not only believe but to repent. Turn your back on your way of life, your sinful, ungodly, worldly way of life. Are you a Christian when you repent? No. You must move on to confessing, not your sin, but Jesus' name. Remember he said, he who confesses me before men, I will confess that person before my Father. Are you a Christian when you confess Christ's name? No, you must be baptized. That's where you come under the influence of the blood of Jesus Christ. Did you hear me? It is in baptism that you come under the influence of the blood of Christ. That's why baptism is so important. The Bible says you become one with Jesus Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection when you repent and are baptized come from that water. Yes, the Bible teaches that. Where Mr. Mitchell, Romans chapter 6, verse 1 to 5, teaches that your burial under the water symbolizes Jesus' burial. Your repentance is a death to sin. Your coming from the watery grave of baptism, the Bible word is like this, that you are risen to walk in newness of life with him. That's why baptism is so important. And you know what? Jesus Christ has left his church here to be a help to you.